This is the story of a ragtag bunch of church members who set out to perform a Christmas play, and the director who tried his hardest to just keep it all together. The Glory of Christmas.
Hi, my name's Joel. I'm the director of our church play, The Glory of Christmas. This is my 12th year.
We're okay. Just the stained glass window.
It's going great. The only thing that we lacked was someone to play the role of Mary up until yesterday. But then I found her. And she's perfect.
I got the role of Mary because I'm 31 weeks pregnant. Yep, two kids in college, and then, surprise! We're so full of joy.
I can't act, Joel. There's no way I can sell this.
No, not true. Your audition was fantastic.
How can it be me? How can I be highly flavored by God, did I just say flavored? Why can't I stop talking about food?
She's perfect.
Oh, hey, you're Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Heather. I play Mary, your wife.
Oh!
Mm-hmm.
I remember you.
Oh?
You played Bunko with my mom. You know, what is Bunko?
Mm-mm.
Nice to meet you.
Mm-mm.
You must mentally sink into her situation. Yes, yes. Go spend the night in a barn somewhere. The hay will trigger something deep within you. Sorry.
Yeah, it'll trigger something. Trigger something that don't need a hand of histamine. Mm. This is good.
I'm the least likely person to play Mary, let alone deliver the Son of God. I'm a middle-aged former soccer mom. And the truth is that this baby disrupted some pretty amazing plans we had for our lives. Things we've been looking forward to for years.
Okay, Mary and Joseph, let's take it back to scene 11. Scene 11, please.
Maybe that's how Mary felt. Maybe people stared, unsure of what to tell her. Maybe she doubted. Maybe she doubted, even though God told her not to fear. And then she trusted. She trusted that what God was doing would bring the greatest kind of joy if she would just let go. Let go of her plans, her questions, and...
There we go. Just let the good shepherd carry you.
Let the good shepherd carry me.
So can you relate to Heather, the woman that's playing Mary in this video? Life sending her some very unexpected plans. I appreciated the video, not only the humor, but also just the challenging us with some of the themes that we're going to see as we walk through this Christmas series. As we look at each of the characters, there are lessons we can learn in reflecting upon the biblical character that are portrayed in the videos that we're going to look at each week. But Heather, the woman playing Mary in this video, she communicated the struggle that she had with this unexpected pregnancy late in her life, and how it was a challenge for her to come to a point at the end of the video and sharing that she reached a place of just knowing she needed to let go and let the good shepherd carry her. Today, we're going to take time to look at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. This is the announcement of Jesus' birth to Mary. And as we look at Mary's example today, I hope that we can not only reflect upon what we saw in the video, but reflect upon the truth of what we see in God's word about who Mary is and the challenge that she would have had in accepting God's plan for her. Let's go ahead and read Luke 1, verse 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this may be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who has been called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. When we reflect upon Mary's story, there's a few key things that I'd like us to look at that I think we can all relate to in some ways, even though obviously none of us have ever been given a task or been confronted with a God's plan for us to the level of what Mary was confronted with in this moment. But I think as we reflect upon Mary and her example and what she would have been going through to come to that place of saying in verse 38 that, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word," of coming to that place of just trusting God's plan for her. I think it's important for us to think about some of the things that she would have been challenged by in this encounter. One of the first things when we think about the idea of accepting God's plans for our lives is sometimes we experience unexpected plans. That God sometimes has different plans for us. God has different plans for us than the things that we have maybe mapping out for our life. You know, as we look at the video, you heard this woman, Heather, talking about the surprise pregnancy late in her life. While she has two older kids now off and out of the house, and she and her husband were preparing to have an empty nest instead, they were having round two of parenthood. She made a statement in the video. She said, this baby disrupted some pretty amazing plans that we had for our lives. Maybe you can relate to that. That maybe you had your life kind of figured out, you were mapped, everything seemed to be mapped out, going the way that you were hoping it was going, and you get a curveball. Maybe through some difficult situation, or God just getting your attention and drawing you in a different direction, whatever it might be, you're faced with a situation where you have unexpected plans. That God has different plans for you than what you thought you had for yourself. When we look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, we see that she was a young woman engaged to a young man, and they were just beginning their life together. Joseph the carpenter and this young woman were about to start a new family. But in this moment, in this passage we just read, any of the plans that Mary had were Totally. Just a total curveball for Mary. I don't even think any of us could even imagine what it would be like for Mary to hear these words, that you were highly favored, and to hear God's plan for her, that she was going to give birth, even though she had never been with a man, that she was going to give birth to the Son of God, to the Messiah. Mary was faced with incredibly unexpected plans. She was going to give birth to the Messiah, and she's being confronted in this moment, in this story, as we read this, Mary, to arrive at that place where she says, I'm the servant of the Lord, and let it be to me as you have planned. That for, to come to that place is coming to a place where she's accepting God's plans for her, though they may have been unexpected for herself. You know, for all of us, as we think about trying to navigate our life and we try to seek God's will and look for his plan for us, it's very easy, I think, sometimes for us to fall into two camps. Some people love plans. I'm one of those people. I like to map out every day if I can, or at least I, in my life and my life plans over the years, I wanted to not just know what was next. I wanted to know what the 3-year or 5-year plan was. Some people, and I'm often envious of that other group, don't want to have the 5-year plan. They just want to take day by day, just see what happens. And you know, for my fellow planners out there, I think this idea of accepting God's unexpected plans for our lives can be a real challenge. Because we step into this place where we want to have everything figured out, and God wants us to just trust him. In my own life, I've often told people that my life verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. When I share that, I've started giving a qualifier. When I say that that's my life verse, it's not because I've mastered this, but because I know myself well enough to know that I like to have every step planned out, and that God at times in my life has not led that way. And I've been led to unexpected situations and stories. As I think about the way God has led in my life, I've realized that what the Proverbs also tell us in Proverbs 19:21 is that sometimes our plans aren't what God has planned for us, and we have to choose to trust him. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. If you're here today and you're or watching online and you're struggling with the idea of maybe God having something unexpected for your life, and he's getting your attention and you're struggling because it doesn't fit your plan, or he's asking you to take a step and you only see the next step, you don't see all the steps or the next 5 years, Mary reminds us that we can still choose to trust. When we reflect on Mary's story, as well as the video and the Heather, the character who played Mary in the video, we're also realize that sometimes we feel unqualified for what it is that God might be calling us to do. The reality is that God often chooses those who feel unqualified. In the video, Heather shared that this idea of playing the part of Mary was something that she was struggling with. She didn't feel like she fit the part. Not only the fact that her husband, Joseph, was young enough to be her child, but she didn't feel like it fit. But she was asked to fill that role. Mary, the mother of Jesus, you can only imagine her doubts. This young woman being asked to do something so great. When we look at this passage, we see Mary is troubled. She's troubled by, not even before she even hears the plans, she's troubled even by the angel's greeting. In verse 28, it says, and he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. She hasn't even heard the details of God's plans for her yet, and yet she's troubled with this idea of her being favored, or that somehow she is special and that God has some special plan for her. In our own life, we can come to that place, and I can think of different times in my life that I sensed God calling me to something that I felt unqualified for. And I had to look at the consistent message throughout Scripture is that God again and again calls people who, when they look at their own strengths and their own abilities, they look and they feel unqualified. And yet God calls people. God has plans for us. And God, if God calls us, He will equip us. He will give us everything that we need to fulfill what He calls us to do. Mary, you know, would have had to have struggled with that. But again, Mary ends in these verses with an acceptance of saying that she is God's servant. And to let it be according to your word. She accepted God's plans for her life. We also see when we reflect upon this story that you can only imagine the amount of stress and the anxiety that Mary would have had in thinking about the great responsibility or the weight of her responsibility. We see that being reflected in this mother in the video, wondering if she was going to have the strength to go through the second round of parenting. We see that in Mary's life, the mother of Jesus, in just the hearing the words, and she would have understood. Any Jewish person in that day would have understood that these were prophetic statements about the Messiah. She understood that this child that she was going to bear was the chosen one, and he was going to be the one that would come to save his people, and to save all people. Mary would have understood the weight of what she was being called to. And you can only imagine, I mean, none of us have been given anything of that level of responsibility. You can imagine in that moment, just the choice that Mary would have to have made to say, yes, I'm your servant. Let it be unto me according to your word. You know, over the years, when we think about the idea of being asked to do something that is a great responsibility that feels overwhelming, I've often heard people say over the years that they make this statement, and many of you have probably said it. I probably have said it myself. We've heard people say that God won't give you more than what? God won't give you more than you can handle. The more I look at God's word and the more I look at the history of the church and the more I look at my own life, I realize that's not really an accurate statement. Probably a better way of saying it is that God won't give you any more than he can handle. God often gives us more than we can handle in our own strength, in our own resources, because it puts us in a place where we have to trust God. We have to trust God to work through us, to give us the strength, to give us the wisdom, to give us the understanding, to give us the gifts of whatever it is that we need to do what he has called us to do. Too often we don't see God move powerfully in our life because we're comfortable and we never step out to a place that we're actually in need of God to show up. And we try to do things in our own strengths. We accomplish things for God, but we do things that are really things that we can do in our own strength and our own resources. And yet God is calling his people to a place of dependence upon him where we're willing to do those things that are bigger and greater than what we can do in our own strength and our own resources. I love hearing the stories of this church. When this small band of believers down on Conowango Avenue started sensing God calling them to buy property and build in this location. It sounds like there were some that thought that's just too ambitious or it's too big of a vision. And yet the leaders stepped out and believed that what God was calling them to do was what God was calling them to do, and they would be faithful and that God would provide. And we saw that God provided again and again. And God has continued to provide for this church over the years as this church has sought to be a lighthouse and a mission to this community. When I ask you today, are you at a, about your own life, though, as you think about the idea of maybe God is calling you and in this in such an uncertain time, there's a lot of uncertainty in the world today and that we all face from day to day. So that the thought of being God calling us to do something great for him or just being open to some specific plan that maybe God hasn't revealed to you yet, whatever it might be, the choice to trust God is something that we need to look at in our own life. And I just want to ask you to do some reflection on your own life as we close today. I want to ask you, has life surprised you? Maybe you had everything mapped out of what you thought was going to be happening at this stage in your life and things have gone a different direction. If life has surprised you, are you willing to trust God with whatever it is you're facing today? Is it possible that God is directing you to something new? That he's been prompting, maybe putting something on your heart and on your mind that you just can't shake? And God is consistently bringing something to your mind of nudging you to step out in faith and to do something specific, and you're struggling. I want to ask you, are you willing to take that step of faith and to trust him? Is it possible that God is calling you to something that is bigger than you can handle? Maybe you sense God telling you to do something, but you feel paralyzed or feel like you can't take that step because you don't feel that you have what it takes or you have the resources you need to do what God is calling you to do. It's a great place to be. It's a great place to be in a point where we step out to do in obedience to do what God calls us to do, knowing that we don't have the strength in and of ourselves to do it. Because that puts us in a place of dependence upon God and his spirit and his power to be working in us and through us. Maybe you're here and you're thinking through this in your own life, and like Mary, you would feel unqualified or maybe disqualified. Maybe there's something in your life you feel like that's disqualified you from serving God or doing anything for him. Or you're just unqualified. You don't have the strength or the abilities or whatever you think you might need. The reality is, from Genesis to Revelation, we see again and again stories of individuals who thought they were unqualified and that God called and equipped and used them to fulfill his plan and his purpose. We see Moses. Moses tried to make excuses, one of them being that he wasn't good with speech. And yet God called Moses and equipped Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. We look at David, King David, the man that God described as a man after his own heart. The reality is we're introduced to David is he's the forgotten brother who's out in the field. He's the youngest son out in the field caring for the sheep. And so when Samuel goes to anoint the king, and one of the sons, one of David's brothers, is assumed to be the one because they're all bigger, they're all older, they're all stronger, and yet David was the one that Samuel was to anoint. We look at the disciples and the people that Jesus gathered around himself. They weren't necessarily the cream of the crop, a tax collector and some fishermen. Many of them uneducated. Many of the rabbis that would have gone throughout that day would have already called the cream of the crop to come and be their disciples. Jesus called each of the disciples and he equipped them. He trained them and God's spirit fell upon them and they changed the world. When God calls us to something, he will equip us. And so today, I want to encourage you to let's think and look again. We think of all these challenges Mary would have had, but we want to end with the focus on how Mary responded. Verse 34, Mary had asked the question, well, how can this be since I am a virgin? And the angel declares to her everything that's going to happen, that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her, and explains how she was going to give birth to the Son of God, and then gives the added story that her relative Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, even though she was considered barren and beyond childbearing years. all of that points to a reminder of this one truth that is in those is in verse 37, that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Mary heard that response. And in verse 38, her response that we see is making a choice to accept and trust God's plan. She says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. You know, in the past, when I've looked at this passage, I've always focused on that first phrase, that I am the servant of the Lord. Mary in that moment and saying that she's the servant of the Lord, she's surrendering. She's submitting to God and his plans for her. She's accepting the role of servant to say whatever God would want for her, that she would walk in obedience. She would be fully surrendered to God's plan. And that's part of how we accept and trust God's plan is coming to a point of surrender to where we say, well, we're willing to let go of our plans, we're willing to set it aside so that we can embrace God's plan for us. But you know, a phrase in this verse that I often have overlooked, it just kept coming into my mind over these last few days as I've been reflecting on this passage, is the statement, "Let it be. Let it be to me according to your word." I have to admit, I've had the Beatles in my head most of the last 2 days. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. You know, don't typically turn to the Beatles for theology or life lessons, and yet that song and that phrase that they're emphasizing is the phrase that we're looking at here in this moment, is that idea of "let it be to me according to your word" is Mary not only surrendering and being willing to be a servant, but she's saying, okay, let it be. Your plan will be my plan. Your plans for my life will be my plans for my life. Let it be to me according to your word. She's accepting God's plan, and she's choosing to trust him. In the Christian life, it's so easy to be striving, especially those of you that are wired like me and that want to plan and have everything planned out years in advance. I want to encourage you to quit striving. Be still and know that he is God. Quit trying to figure out everything on your own and trust God's plan. One of the things I found challenging over the years, and I had a mentor years ago tell me that in Psalm 119, 105, that phrase, that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The image there is a light that doesn't shine way down the road. It only shines far enough to see our next step. When we choose to trust God and his plans for our life, often we only see the next step. Abraham left his homeland to go to the country that God was calling him to without knowing the way. In our life, God will often only show us the next step, and we have to choose to walk in obedience, and we have to let it be according to God's word for us. We let it be. We surrender and allow God's plan to be fulfilled in us. What makes this easier connects to that phrase that was at the end of the video that I think is so helpful. When we think about the idea of trusting God's plan for us and trusting his leadership in our life, there's probably no greater image in Scripture than the idea of God being our shepherd. At the end of the video, you saw the woman overwhelmed with emotion with the idea of letting the good shepherd carry her. Today, whether it's just through the uncertainty of life and what we've been facing, all of us facing, or whether it's actually in God getting your attention to have you step out in faith to do something he wants you to do, whatever it might be, I want to encourage you to remember Mary's example, to submit your life to God and his plans, to accept his plans for your life, and to trust the good shepherd to carry you. Jesus says in John 10:10-11, in describing himself as the good shepherd, he says in verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus, the one who laid down his life for each one of us, has proven that he is worthy of our trust. And living the Christian life is coming to a place where we not only understand what Jesus did on the cross for us, but that we put our faith and trust in Jesus and what he did for us. We receive his gift of forgiveness. We surrender our lives to embrace Jesus, not only as our Savior, but as our Lord, the one who will lead us and guide us day in and day out. Jesus invites us to walk with him as his sheep and to let him lead us as our good shepherd. The image of the shepherd is seen in Psalm 23, and this is where I want to leave us, because if you're here today and you're struggling with the idea of accepting God's plans for this day or for this week or for the future of your life or whatever it might be, or maybe you're here and or you're listening online and you've never even made the choice to trust Jesus personally as Savior, I want to read Psalm 23 to close and just remind you that in Jesus we have perfect shepherd that's reflected in these words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder and both in this video and in reflecting upon Mary's life and the call to be your servant, to bear the Son of God, to be the mother of Jesus. Lord, help us in this moment today, each one of us, to come to that place that we see in Mary's example of just trusting you, surrendering our lives to be your servant, putting our full trust in you and accepting your plans and your purpose for our lives. Lord, help us to have an image of you as our good shepherd. Lord, you want good for us, and you, while you often lead us in ways that we may not see 5 years down the road, Lord, help us to be faithful and obedient to just take the next step that you are asking us to take. Lord, may we be faithful in following after you day after day, because you are our good shepherd and we can trust you. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.